We're on the Supreme Court watch. Today, the court considering whether the health care reform law can live without the mandate that most people have coverage. And they're also this afternoon considering the law's expansion of Medicaid. So how is the government doing in making its case? According to a lot of observers, not well. Yesterday, Solicitor General Donald Varelli made the Obama administration case for the individual mandate. CNN legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin called part of his performance a train wreck. Jonathan Turley is with us. He's professor of public interest law at George Washington University. Jonathan, first I have to clear one thing up before the break. I sent you before the Supreme Court. I had you arguing cases before them. You have not?
No, I have not done the case. I've done a case of virtually every other court, but it's probably a good idea because since I'm a commentator, I talk a lot about the justices.
They would not like, some of them might not like it
exactly.
Very much.
Yeah.
So we apologize for that. But, you know, you have told us, you know how heady this moment is, and you're reluctant to criticize those who have gone forward. But what is your overall report card on how the government's making its case? I'm sure you've heard the criticism.
Well, I have, and unfortunately, I believe the criticism is well-founded. It was not a strong performance on the most important day, which was yesterday. But what a lot of people don't realize is that it has not been a strong performance throughout this litigation. The Justice Department has done, frankly, a pretty bad job in this case, surprisingly so. Probably the most important factor in that evaluation is that the administration has changed its position in the course of the litigation on key issues. So when it started out, for example, it said that this was a tax, which was the issue on Monday, and argued that and then realized, wow, that's a huge mistake because there's a thing called the Anti-Injunction Act, which would be a problem for them.
Because you can't consider lawsuits against taxes until taxes are in place. Yes.
Yeah. And so they went back and said, okay, my bad. It's not a tax. Now it's a penalty. And then they started saying, but you know what? You can't strike down the individual mandate because it's so essential to the act, the whole act would collapse. And then somebody said, well, that's a really dumb argument because you're about to torch your entire act. And so they switched again, and they said, no, now we believe it is severable, which is the issue that was argued today.
Right. It's severable if two elements, key elements of the law that would be very expensive, also went with the mandate. But, of course, they don't want the mandate to be severed, but they were just saying if you sever it, these, you know, the law could live if these two other aspects of it went to the expensive ones. Right.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, the problem with this, I tell the associates I practice with, my students all the time, that particularly in high-profile cases, the most important thing you bring is credibility, because that judge is, or that justice is under the same pressures you are. You got millions of people looking at a case, and that person's got to trust you, that you're not going to mislead them about the law, that you're going to give them solid arguments. And when you lose that credibility, it's a real problem. But I think what the biggest problem we saw yesterday was that this was a court of one, that everyone is playing for the vote of Justice Kennedy. I was particularly looking closely at Scalia, because there was a chance that Scalia could actually be convinced to vote for the bill. He seemed to go south early in the argument, leaving only Kennedy.
You mean, by go south, you mean indicating he was against the individual mandate.
That's right. South, if that's on your right side.
Right. Well, but we'll get to Kennedy in a second. But to your point that the administration seems to be having a hard time coming up with the bumper sticker for this idea of why having people pay will cut costs, which is something people want to hear, or, you know, will help people, will be effective, will be good for the economy. Yesterday, there was an exchange we want to listen to. This is, again, Donald Varelli. With Justice Samuel Alito. Alito asked for a succinct statement of why Congress can force people to purchase a product, in this case, health insurance. Now, Solicitor General Varelli argued that Congress has the authority because of legal precedents, and here's the beginning of his answer.
We got two, and they're different. Let me state them. First, with respect to the comprehensive scheme, when Congress is regulating, is enacting a comprehensive scheme that it has the authority to enact, that the necessary and proper clause gives it the authority.
Okay, I'm going to ask our board operator, Doug, to just bring that down a minute, because that went on for several minutes, and people, other analysts were screaming. There's the case in 1942 of a farmer who was told that he couldn't buy wheat because it would be good for the economy. There's another more recent case about marijuana. Finally, he talked for a couple of minutes, and Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg jumped in.
Mr. Verrilli, I thought that your main point is that unlike food or any other market, when you make a choice not to buy insurance, even though you have every intent in the world to self-insure, to save for it, when disaster strikes, you may not have the money.
Boom. you know, Jonathan Turley, as you're listening, what were you thinking of the government representative's inability to explain their side?
Well, it happened repeatedly. You know, actually, they started out badly. The whole presentation started out with this long sort of throat clearing and delay. But more importantly, it was just not responsive to the justice questions. When you have someone like Ginsburg stepping in and saying, let me take a crack at this, it's not a good sign. And what's missing is really what was the only thing that should have been on his mind, which is how do I give a hand to Justice Kennedy? Even though Alito's asking the question, all of those questions the justices were asking and all of the answers the lawyers were giving were primarily going to Kennedy. And Kennedy himself spoke up repeatedly and said, can you give me a limiting principle, which is what a lot of this goes to, which is, can you tell me, if I vote for you, if I vote for this act at least, why isn't federalism dead? I mean, can you tell me, give me a limiting principle of how states will still have some protected areas, because I don't see it. And that question was asked repeatedly in different ways, and the Solicitor General just didn't really answer it.
Didn't have it. Jonathan Turley, professor of public interest law at George Washington University, with sort of I know you don't like to criticize, but a critical review of the government's way at the Supreme Court. It's not over yet, but Jonathan, thanks so much for weighing in now.
Thank you.